Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan Campbell, the Lions' new head coach. And, you know, listen, it kind of sounds like, I've said this before, Coach, like old WWE, like, you know, promo, which I love. All you got to do is grow the hair out like you did back in the day as a player. You look like The Undertaker. You're good to go. It all works for you, Dan.
Well, hey, how's it going, first of all, guys?
Great.
Good to be on. And I would say the hair is growing, as a matter of fact, right now.
So okay.
It hasn't been cut in about 2 months. Not that I'm letting it go. It's just it happened to be that way. I haven't found the time to get it cut, but I know where you're going with it.
All right, good. Awesome. Congrats on the job, man. We're really happy for you, Coach.
You know, Coach, and we're talking to Dan Campbell, obviously, the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Coach, it's hard to call you coach because I don't know you as coach, but I have to call you that as coach.
Dan, Tiki, since we were teammates for 4 years.
Exactly. So, Dan.
Doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right at all. Usually these non-personal relationships, I'm like, hey, coach, you know, it shouldn't be formal. But, Dan, your journey, it's kind of awesome. And unless you were watching it, like your former teammates, friends of yours were watching it, you kind of seem like you came out of nowhere. For you, this journey was awesome. You know, there were some ups, the interim spike that you had when you were at Miami, and then obviously that didn't work out, and then you ended up with our buddy Sean Payton, and he taught you the ropes. Tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are now after a really successful career in the NFL as a tight end.
Well, I think that certainly it did start at Miami. I mean, because had that not happened, then I wouldn't be sitting here right now unless I'd been able to be a coordinator, certainly. You know, my mm-hmm. journey is a little it's unique. Most of the time this doesn't happen. If you look at the hiring cycle, it's been coordinator to head coach. But I was given that opportunity, and one of the best things that happened to me was, you know, to be able to do those things and to learn, to learn on the job. I mean, I learned on the fly, and really I learned at the hardest part of a year for a head coach, and that was the season. You know, not that the off season is not difficult; it's got its own challenges. But man, to be able to actually go through a season as the head coach, man, you learn a lot. And I told Sean this after it didn't work out, and when he called me, you know, I had said this before, but he said, Dan, you come out here with me, and I'll teach you everything you need to know. I'll fill in all the blanks for you, and you'll be ready to go. But he basically told me, just trust me. If you'll trust me, you'll get another opportunity, I promise you. And so, listen, it worked out great. And honestly, it was the best thing for me, too, because I was a better position coach having been in that seat, man, because your eyes get opened. You see everything. And so I told Sean, I said, man, I'll be the best freaking position coach you ever had, because I knew exactly now. I knew what to look for, and I knew how I could help him. And it was more, I'm not saying that position coaches get selfish, but sometimes you get in your own box and you don't see the outside picture. You don't see the big picture. And I felt like that helped me more than anything else. And then here we are today. It worked out great.
Dan, there's only 32 of these jobs, man. So it's an honor to be considered. It's a blessing to actually get the green light and get the job, get the offer, and then obviously you agree. I can see why Detroit would want you. I would like to, and we would like to know, why you wanted Detroit. And I'm not trying to take a low. Listen, I worked in Detroit, and I'm rooting for Detroit. I've been to the old Silver Dome. I was there when Ford Field opened. I think I have a decent sense of Lions fans and what they want and how awesome they are. But that has been a tough job, and it has failed a lot of smart men. Why do you believe in the Lions? I know why they believe in you. Why do you believe in them?
Well, look, I think it would start here. When I was able to sign as a free agent here in 2006 as a player, and I'll be honest with you, I was, as a matter of fact, I was contemplating, I thought I was going to go to New Orleans with Sean Payton as a free agent. That was his first year in New Orleans. I was a free agent out of Dallas. And so that's where I was going. I thought I was going there. And Detroit, you know, Rod Marinelli was the head coach, had just been named head coach. Mike March is the offensive coordinator. And they had interest. And really it got to where I couldn't turn down the money. And I felt like I was kind of in that boat. And it was a hard decision. But yet, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, God, because all I knew of Detroit was what the outside was saying about Detroit. And you know, it's everything that – it's kind of the same things you hear today. You know, it's a city that's in ruins, man, and it's the big joke of the crime. And just everything that happens, the harsh winters. And and so I was a little bit apprehensive. You know, I signed, but I was like, oh, man, here we go. And then, you know, started looking for a place to live. We found an excellent community north of Detroit. And, God, once we settled in, the people were unbelievable. I mean, the community was great, and they loved their freaking – they love football here. They love football. They love hockey. They love their sports. I mean, that's what this place is. And then you get part of the organization, and – you can say what you want about the Ford family. I'll tell you this, man. They will invest into their team. Like, our facilities were outstanding, and I mean, they were the best facilities I'd been in at any team. And I'd been with the Giants, and I love the Giants. I love the Mara family. I was with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, but it was impressive. And and so when you know ownership is doing whatever they can to help you as a player, you know, they're willing to put in the resources, man, it meant something. And so, look, it didn't work out for me as a player. I ended up spending more time hurt than I did to actually play. But there was something special about this place. And I remember thinking, man, if we could ever win here, this would be one of those, man, you'd be remembered forever, because this is the type of community that'll rally behind you.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was special. And for me, I felt like it fit. It was a match. Cause I do feel like this is a blue collar town, man. This is a town that, man, it's about results. It's about rolling up your sleeves and going to work. And, I think that's where people forget that's really what this city's about.
That's true. We're talking to Dan Campbell, new Lions head coach on Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Dan, we played a snippet of your introductory press conference. I think I know the answer to this because you've told me stories about your days at Texas A&M and the rallies that would go on before the big games down there. Was this a premeditated? Did you write this out, or did you just go talk from the top of your head?
No, I think that I really went off the top of my head. I don't really – like, I wrote a couple of things down getting ready for this, Tiki, just because I was gonna give you some credit here, but you know, I'll throw that right in the trash if you know. But no, I would say it was just kind of something bubbling up, and to me, I was just thinking about, all right, I got this press conference in my head, and I was just thinking about the community, and I was thinking about, man, if our team could take on the identity of this city, I think that'd be a good thing, and if they would think the way these people think and to be able to overcome adversity, I just think there's a correlation between the two. Now, that being said, listen, for all the listeners here that think that I don't understand that if you bite a kneecap, that's a personal foul, believe me, I know that, all right, 100%. And so I know that we really won't be biting kneecaps off, you know, or we'll have plenty of penalty yards, but it was meant for this community, for this area. I didn't think of it at the time, but I really wasn't worried about what the outside world kind of thought about it. It was really for our community and in our players.
Yeah, no, that's the best way to think about it, because they're going to rally behind you. They'll take on, you talk about them taking on the personality of the city, they'll take on your personality, and that's a great thing, having known you and knowing your mindset. I know that's what they need. With that being said, the hard question here that BT and I were talking about in the segment before you came on here, Dan, was, you know, this is a tough job, as BT was mentioning. What are the steps that you specifically think you need to take to get this team into a winner? And how long do you think it's going to take?
Yeah, it's a great question. Here's what, let me start here, is when you have, I really believe deep down that we have an outstanding owner, like one of the top-notch owners in this league, and that we're very fortunate enough to have. And I think at the end of the day, there's going to be so many people, so many head coaches in this league that would have been like, God, man, I would have loved to have worked for her. You know, Sheila Ford Hamp is outstanding, man. I'm telling you, her basically what all she wanted is, she said, listen, things have been a certain way around here for a long time, and I don't want it to happen that way anymore. I don't want it to be that way. And basically, in a nutshell, you know what she wanted? She wanted us to work as a team. She wanted us to work as a team, top to the bottom. So she wants us to work as a team, from ownership to head coach to GM to team president. And then in turn, let's get these guys under us, the players, to work as a team. Is that too much to ask? I mean, think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's easy to say, you'd be shocked. Tiki, you know this. You'd be shocked how, you know, we're in this, man. And this is the greatest sport that there is, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm biased. But still, it's all about the team. And yet, man, there's teams in this league, they say all that, and they tell their players all that, but they don't live up to that up at top.
Yeah.
They don't live up to that in the personnel department. And the GM and the head coach are bickering, and they're not on the same page. And the owner's telling these people to, hey, this is who you ought to hire. This is who you ought to – you need to let go of this guy. We need to sign this player. I like this. And we don't have any of that. We've got an owner who just wants to – she just wants to be a part of it. And I value her opinion. But at the end of the day, she's like, listen, guys, I hired you guys to do this. You and Brad are doing the job, and it's up to you, and it's your decision 100%. We just want to make sure you have all the information you need to make the best decision possible for the Lions organization. And she just wants everybody to feel like they're a part of this. Even the people at the stadium at Ford Field, she wants them to feel like, listen, man, it means something to work for the Detroit Lions, and that we're not just an afterthought. I mean, so those things resonated with me. And so that being said, knowing that, and knowing that we have an owner who is around and wants to be a part of this, and the coaches see her every day or most days, and the personnel department, and then to have our players, we go to practice, and there she is, man, and they are able to interact with her, I think it's huge.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you remember that from the Giants days. Yeah, you remember that from the Giants days. Wellington was always around. And it's funny.
Absolutely.
I remember LeVar Arrington said this to me once, because he played in Washington, and then he came to us. He said, the difference is, no matter who I talked to in the organization, I felt like I was talking to the owner, or at least it was going to get to the owner. And right, so there was an accountability that started. Didn't matter where you were on the totem pole. It was going up no matter what.
Absolutely, and it makes a difference. You just said it. As a player, it makes a difference to know your owner is involved and she cares and she's listening. And you'd be shocked now, you know, how much Sheila knows. She knows plenty. She knows more about these players than they even have any idea about. And they will before it's all said and done. They'll understand. But so that being said, when you have the right ownership and now you say, how do we build this thing properly? We all know if you really want to build and sustain a winner, you have to do it through the draft. You have to. And so, you know, to do that, man, you got to be patient, and you have to have a good vision of where you want to go in about 2 to 3 years. And that's uncommon now. It's hard because everything is about win, win, win right now. But I feel like we're set up, and nobody's saying that we're going to take our time and that we're not going to have a sense of urgency, but yet I feel like everybody, because we have an owner who is around here and she listens to all of it, she understands exactly where we're at, and she understands what it's going to take to get us where we need to go. So I think the moves that we make to be able to stockpile some of these draft picks, man, to where we can really load up and let Brad go to work and bring in some talent that we can grow, develop, and then re-sign. Grow, develop, re-sign, draft again. All those things, even using compensatory picks, man. Now, this will be a little bit of a unique year because how do you do that? How do you get these picks, these compensatory picks, to use in 2022, but yet still suit up a team that you know can go out and compete? Because nobody's saying we're going to go out there and we're just going to, you know, whatever, and who knows what's going to happen, but at least we're ready for 2021 or 2022. That's not the case. So there's a fine line between the two, but I think everybody in this organization knows exactly where we're at, and I think it's you build in the draft, and then when you sign the free agents we're going to, no different than this year when it comes up, we're going to sign the right guys, man. They don't have to be the best guys. They just need to be the right guys. Let's bring in some gritty, hard-nosed guys. Man, I don't care if it's a nickel. I don't care if it's a receiver. I don't care if it's another running back. They're going to be everything that we're looking for players in that locker room, and they're also guys we know they can hold the line for us. You know, it may not always be pretty, but my God, man, they're going to be guys that you know you can depend on. When the time comes and it's time for them to do their job, they'll do it.
Dan, I love your energy, man. And when you were hired, well, when we were hired, yes, but even when we first heard the press conference, part of it with the kneecaps, I'm like, we knew what you were doing. You weren't talking to any other city but Detroit, the city that's been beaten up, the city that's been behind the team for all these years without a playoff win since 1991. And quite frankly, Dan, it didn't matter who parachuted in and said, well, it didn't sound well. Not that everybody said, but you saw some critics. Oh, it wasn't professional. Oh, whatever. But to me, that was the right message at the right time for this team. Now, I want to preface all this with, obviously, you can't comment on trades, and we're not even going to put you in that position. We understand the deal. But you were hired, how do I frame this, before a major occurrence, shall I say. Does that and dance around this how you need to so you don't get in trouble. But what did that change your job at all? Because that happened after you were hired.
No, and well, here's what I would say is that there was an indication that something could happen or something might want to do something. A certain player might want to move somewhere else. All right. There was an indication. That didn't mean that it was 100% by any means. So it's not like I walked in blind. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, as anybody would, I'm a competitor. I wanted my opportunity to win someone back, if you will. But I think that ship had sailed, and that's kind of where we're at with this. I would say that we all know who we're talking about here, and both players are outstanding players. And, Stafford's done an unbelievable job. He's been a hell of a quarterback for a long time. He's very talented. He's a great, great human being. I've talked to him multiple times, and it's been nothing but, you know, it's just been outstanding. And golf is, nobody's won more games in golf over his career than freaking Tom Brady. And he's a winner. He's durable, and he's tough. He's got a quiet toughness about him. So, but both players are great, and that's about as far as I can go with it.
I get it, Dan. I just want to be clear. So, and again, we know the players. You don't even need to say their names again. But you, as a competitor, you were hoping for a chance to talk to you know who. Did you actually get that chance to try to persuade him to stay or no?
I think it would pretty much it had been done.
Gotcha.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
And
right.
So and it's fine. It's all good. Man.
I got you.
You know. Everything's all good.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It is. And you got a very unique staff, Dan. And I heard you say this. It's not intentional. It just kind of happened. You wanted to hire the best people. But you said something that was, I think, really important to the black community of coaches around the National Football League. And that's essentially around Deuce Staley, who I'm surprised you're embracing because he was our biggest rival with the Philadelphia Eagles. You hated that dude. We had to face him in the green. But he comes over after a really long time in Philadelphia. I mean, they probably disrespected him, and I thought they did him wrong there, didn't really give him a chance. But he's going to bring something which I know you're going to love. It's an energy. It's a no-nonsense. It's a It's a realness that as your, I think he's going to be your assistant head coach, that's going to be amazing for him. It, the importance of this, because we've seen it. Like, we saw it with Bruce Arians. His, all his staff is black, basically, and he's got two women on there as well. The diversity in hiring, building your tree, is unique. One, because they're all former players, but two, because Deuce is a black athlete, former athlete and coach. I mean, it's unique. I hate that it is unique, but it is unique.
Yeah, well, look, let me say this first, man. This you're right. This staff is outstanding, man. And you know what every coach tells you, every great coach says, listen, here's what you're going to run into. Number one, you need to think of this. Your staff is the most important thing you'll do ever as a head coach. It is the most important thing, is hiring your staff. That's one. Number two is you're not going to be able to hire everybody you want. And I would say this. Number one, they're right. Number two, I've been able to hire everybody I wanted. And so I am freaking extremely fired up. I mean, to be able to get Anthony Lynn as my offensive coordinator, but also know that he's had head coaching experience, which I can lean on, mm-hmm. it means the world. To be able to get Deuce Staley as my assistant head coach, knowing where he's going, because I said it this morning and I said it before, he's going to be a head coach in this league. It's happening. All right. He's going to make the same transition I made. He's going to go, he'll go right from where he's at right now into a head coach. Because he's going to, when he's able to stand in front of an owner, sit in front of an owner and a GM, and they get to listen to him and everything he's about and his knowledge and his passion, they're going to fall in love with him. I'm just telling you. And anything that I can help him with to get there, no different than Sean did with me, we're going to do it. But in the meantime, he's going to help me. And he's going to line up that locker room for me. And we've already talked about, hey, man, I want you to deal with these, any of these fines. How do we want to deal with player fines, man? Bring it to me. Let's talk about it. You know, I'm going to have him do some of these media obligations because I want him out front. I want him to be able to talk. I want him to know exactly what I'm thinking, what Brad and I are thinking. I want him to be abreast of the cap situation. I want him to think about all these compensatory picks. I want him to know what we're doing free agency-wise, offense and defense. So he's going to be heavily involved in all this. And I respect the hell out of Deuce, and I value his input. But I also want him to know, man, you're getting ready for bigger things, man. And Deuce is no different than anybody else. Once he's in the boat, he's all in. I mean, you'd be shocked how much stuff he brings me every day. He's like, DC, hey, check this out. I just want you to think about it. And then he runs out of here, you know, and then he'll come back with something else. But it's huge. And I know this sounds crazy, and it's not crazy, but to your point, I'm telling you, man, I didn't write down either, Tiki, like, man, I'm going to hire nothing but black coaches. Or I'm going to hire down. That's not what I did, man. I said, I'm hiring the best freaking guys out there. And that was important for me, for them to know that too, man. They earned that. Yeah. These guys are legit freaking coaches and men, more importantly. And, man, I want this thing to change to where, man, the head coaches are getting hired here, and this is not it has nothing to do with what it's been or whatever. I just want – man, leader of men. I think being a leader of men is important in this league, man. And that's where you want this game to go. And those are the guys that I hired. Players are not no players. Man, these are leader of men is who these are.
Dan, we're very generous with your time. We're up against it. I'm sure you are as well. I know we'll have you on hopefully a lot. Every time we watch you, Teague's going to be hitting you up on text. So just so you know, Dan, the new coach of the Lions. Love the energy. I know the fans are feeling it out there in Motown as well. Great to have you back on the show, and good luck getting this thing going, yeah. Man.
Congrats, Dan.
Hey, I appreciate it. Let me say this real quick, man. Tiki, yep. And I, man, we played together 4 years. Tiki's one of these guys, man. I got the utmost respect for. Tiki was the smartest running back I ever played with. I mean, the smartest. And when you're a player and you played long enough, I was fortunate to play 11 seasons, you can always draw up like an all-star cast of guys you play with. And it's not always going to be the greatest players you ever played with, although Tiki would have been one of those too.
True.
It's those guys you'd go to war with any day. And Tiki Barber is running back. Excuse my language.
I love it, Dan. I love that it. Great, I love you, dude. Brother. Good luck.
One of those guys I'd go to bat for any freaking day is Tiki Barber, man.
I love it, man. Well,
what an endorsement. Dan, great stuff. Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.